Welcome to Finding Your Voice. I am your host, Per Bristow. I'm the creator of The Sing With Freedom, The Singing Zone, Speak With Freedom, Perform With Freedom, Peak Performance Mastery Training Programs, and other goodies. And here we are going to go deep into areas of voice, expression, communication, performance, releasing fears. Who are we really? How can we release what we are truly capable of in life? Get ready for some powerful conversations with some really fascinating people from all around the world. Welcome to another episode of Finding Your Voice. And today I am here with Devika. So first of all, thank you for being here, Devika. Am I saying your name right?
You are. Thank you very much. And thank you for having me, Per.
So you are in Austria right now, and I know you speak German most of the time, but your English is brilliant. So I met you first. You came to my event in Berlin, and you stood up, and you talked a little bit about your story, which even in those few minutes was absolutely fascinating. And I have talked to you since, and I know you have such a powerful story journey yourself. You've lived in pain for 30 years. You've had a lot of things going on in your life, struggles. And you have now become this transformational coach, helping people heal, going from fear to love. You've written a wonderful book that's called Simple Love, and you're doing a lot of great work. So I think we are all going to be very inspired and helped by what you have to share. So I'm excited.
Thank you.
We should, yeah.
Just one point. I do not call myself a coach. I call myself a trainer because I do not have any credentials. What I do through the intuition work, mm-hmm. You know, the message that comes through me. I say to people, my doctor is Doctor of Divinity. So the letters at the back of my name is DOD, Doctor of Divinity. So there's certain words I'm not allowed to use, and because I do not have the certification, because I don't have the title. So I just wanted to clarify that before I carry on.
Very good. I love that. Trainer. I'm all about skill development. I'm all about training. Yes.
That's what I love about your work.
Oh, well, thank you. So shall we you... At this point, you work with people with all kinds of issues, and you have, of course, found then that there is something that within us all, that we have these blockages, and you help people uncover that. But let's go back a little bit. We want to get to that, how you do that and what you do.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why you are doing it, isn't it?
There is. I was born. Better said, in Mauritius, very little tiny island, what nobody knows, in the Indian Ocean, with very strong spiritual roots. We're a very mixed culture, but we come into the category Asian, Hinduism, but my parents are very spiritual, so I was brought up very spiritual. And we moved to England when I was 3 years old.
Okay.
So I had packed my suitcase and moved. My first journey, my first transformation was from Mauritius to England. When we got to England, it was as if I was in a kind of bubble. I didn't quite understand where I was. So basically, this transition was for me very confusing with my spiritual upbringing, with my roots being Mauritian, and at the same time having to grow up in a different culture with different ethnics, with a different mindset. My journey began with trying to fit in. You know, I was confused who I was supposed to be, who I should be, and this trying to fit in, you know, when you try, as you say, with the book, the harder you try, the worse it gets. So my trying didn't work. In fact, I'm still probably a little bit inside, but I'm very shy. I'm very timid. introvert. So it was, I'm a very good candidate in that sense for someone to bully. You know, at the time growing up, I was bullied every single day. You know, waking up to go to school was the most horrific thing. To go in, to know that you're going to get your hair pulled, you're going to get kicked, you're going to get smacked, you're going to get beaten up, you're going to get told to do things that you don't want to do. I did have some kind of self-respect, obviously, because I would say no when they wanted me to go to the shops and buy things when it was supposed to be class time. I obviously did stand my grounds, and that is the help from my family. I have four brothers, so, you know, I had a little bit of that standing my ground, saying no. But that saying no, they began to pick on me even more, bully me and pull my hair, and it was very scary. And I just didn't feel I could speak to anybody about it. I know if I went to my brothers, they would have sorted it out, but it just didn't dawn on me to do that. And so I kind of like swallowed it and sometimes even waited till school started and bugged off school, like we say in England. It was so scary. Back then I had nightmares. You know, you wake up in a dream and you think you're still in school. I don't even remember finishing school. So this state of trying and nightmares and being scared every single day brought me to the space of not understanding. You know, I had the spiritual background of love and kindness and just being gentle and compassion, and then going into this world. You know, I wrote down just before this interview, even if you are a pure person entering this world, you do not come into the pureness of the world. So yes, we are pure coming into this world, but we're not coming into a world that's pure. So
right.
I had to decide and fight with what was real and what was not real, and it led to this desperateness of wanting to be loved and wanting to love. I made so many mistakes,
yeah.
Especially in my relationships. My relationships worked for a while. And obviously, you know, you can imagine me being the giver, me desperate for love, that somebody loves me. I even got the label, you know, a woman that loves too much. I'm in love with love. Mm-hmm. And back then, I, you know, that used to sort of hit me. I used to take that personally and think, no. Today I say yes. You know,
okay.
Yeah, I was desperate for love. And so yes. Swallowed and made a lot of mistakes.
Hmm.
And so every mistake I made grew into like a toxic energy inside of myself. The positive thing is, though, it gave me the strength to concentrate on something else. And this is where I was successful in my business, you know, in my career.
Yes.
So with the age of 21, I was in management. So I was able to focus it over there. That okay. took me away from what was happening inside.
Right.
But it was from the day I was born right through to 30, every single day I was in pain. Physically, and that was the hardest, because emotional pain, mental pain, sometimes you find things to distract you from there, which I did, you know, going out, having the job, having the money, having the car, having the house, having the looks, you know, just being the life of the party. I did all that. Mm-hmm. I had lots of friends, hundreds of friends that, you know, friends. So I did compensate, but the physical pain, there was nothing to compensate the physical pain. 12 tablets a day.
Wow.
I was like a traffic light. The traffic light, I'm going to say this, it probably doesn't sound nice. The red was the bleeding. I used to bleed every single day from my sickness that I developed into. The tablets just made me nauseous, so I was sick. I was really throwing up. That was the yellow, the green. And then I had diarrhea That was the yellow. So I really felt like a traffic light. That's how I used to label it. I'm a traffic light.
Jeez.
And then I went to the doctors and I said to them, listen, if you can't help me, I'm going to kill myself. And I meant it. I meant every single word. I said to them, if you do not find a solution, why I'm in this pain? Because they didn't believe me. They just didn't believe what I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
It made it so hard. You know, you're trying to reach out and you think, okay, the medical industry is where you go. You know, you go to a doctor because that's where you should go. And they should be able to help you and fix you. But they didn't believe me. So I had to fight. And then every time I went, I would get medication. And it made me into this traffic light that I just didn't want to be. And I went to them one day and I said, listen, if you don't find a solution, I will. And the solution is I do not want to live like this. I will kill myself. So a doctor took me seriously and went for my first operation. The first time in hospital, they didn't find anything. They probed her about and it was just so painful. I screamed and they just didn't understand. And the situation was so intense. It's endometriosis, which you develop cysts and myomes and tumors in your body. And it was so big that they couldn't see it on the scans that they would do. They couldn't see the edge because it was so big. They said any minute I could have passed away, you know, I could have died. So they did an emergency operation because now they believed, now they found for a laparoscopy.
Yeah.
And then I had an emergency operation, which, yeah.
Wow. How old were you here?
You know, I have to think back. I believe I was 20 when they found it. It must have been around 18, 19, 20. Yeah. So difficult sometimes to go back to that space.
Sure. Okay.
It must have been a long 20, yeah.
Wow. And then, yeah. and then after the operation, then?
Well, after many operations, okay. I had in total 7 operations, basically because they didn't know what to do. Every time they operated to take away the tumors and the cysts, it would come back. And their explanation was, I have an extreme healing process. It's amazing how I heal, but the healing process is so strong that it's bringing back the cysts.
Mm-hmm.
So with one operation, I actually fell into in the intensive care unit. I was there for a while. They damaged my intestine, so I had to have an emergency operation again where they had to fix a stoma. You know what a stoma is? It's a bag. Many people have it. Cliff Richard lives with one. I think the Queen also has one. I think it's they call it a stoma. It's a artificial, how do you call it now? Intestines. When they you can't go to the toilet, so they put a bag there. So you're going into the bag, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called a stoma. In German, they say "Kuhle Ausgang."
Okay.
So I had to have that. I had that for 6 months. But the worst thing was when I had this put on and I woke up not knowing where I was, I did have that light moment, I must say, where I'm going to go step back. When I woke up, or before I woke up, I remember I was in a state where I was so happy. I was just free.
Really?
All the pain that I had suffered was in that moment, it was gone. I was free. This was me still in the intensive care. And I remember seeing my parents, calling and lots and lots and lots of people. I didn't know who they were, but I realized in that moment I had to make a choice. And I said to myself, no, I cannot do this to my parents. You know, I cannot go because they will suffer, and I didn't want them to suffer. So it wasn't that I saw God and God said, okay, you got to come back and heal. No, I made the choice. I can't do this. I can't go now. I can't leave, even though I wanted to, because I really wanted to go. I really wanted to die. I even said that. I even focused on that. I guess I created it in that sense. Mm-hmm. That was all I thought of. I didn't want to live on this earth. I wrote in my book, this world is unfair and cruel. I remember that till today. So I didn't want to be here. And in that moment, seeing these people, seeing my parents, I just decided, whoever these people are, I want to come back and find out. And the most amazing thing is this freedom that I felt. I made a vow. This is what I want people to feel. Unfortunately, should I carry on?
Yes, carry on.
When I came back, it wasn't that simple. The freedom I felt, that space of relief, was just short. When I came back into my body, the desperation was back. The fight was back. The reality was back. You know, bah, you're here again. And at the time, I was going through, obviously, my first biggest breakdown with my partner as well. So we had our divorce. We broke down. And I really wanted to have a child. That was the biggest dream I ever had in my life, apart from Sydney. And I always wanted to be a mother. And I was obviously told I would never have children. And this pressure came onto my relationship. And that broke. So not only was I sick, not only was I going through this depression, my relationship broke down. I couldn't work. So financially, I broke down. I lost friends. I lost people in my life. So it was like a dark hole, you know, the black tunnel. It couldn't get deeper than that for me.
Sure, yeah.
And when the doctors looked at me and shook their head and said, we just operated like 8-9 hours. Well, we don't know what to do, you know, like, I mean, they didn't say it in that word, but it was like, yeah, there's very little we can do for you, because the doctor will not really admit that they can't do anything, but with all respect, they did help me to take away the problem. So I'm not knocking the medicine world or the medical world. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. But this knowledge of they're not going to be able to do anything other than keep operating on me. Basically, every 2 years, I had an operation.
Yeah.
I made that decision in that moment, and I said, you know what? You cannot help me. You cannot heal me. I have to heal myself. So that began, my search began. Mm-hmm. That was the searching, that was the leaving behind the things I just didn't want to hear, I didn't want to associate myself with, and made my journey to the USA. Mm-hmm. And that's where my journey began. Looking for help through shaman, gurus, monks, spiritual teachers. And so this was a very, that was my learning. That was my process. That was that learning to also be in with me. The realization that nobody outside is going to help me or make me happy or love me how I would like them to love me or heal me. It's not going to come from outside. And I actually remember being in San Francisco in a hotel room, really, really small, just one room. And that was my sanctuary. I was just there day in, day out, analyzing my thought, my feelings, my emotions. What? How did I get here? Who am I? You know, that took like 10 years. 10 years. It wasn't something that happened the one day, the next day, a month. It took me 10 years.
Yes.
And I remember one particular experience when I was in America, and you know, with America, if you don't have good insurance, then you're sucked, you know? And I remember waking up one day and this left side of my body completely paralyzed. That was so scary. Yeah. I had to use my right hand to move my left side. I couldn't understand what was going on inside of my body, you know? And I just laid there trying to figure out, what do I do now? I was on my own. And luckily a friend came and saw me in a situation. I said, my God, we've got to get to hospital. I said, no, do not take me to the hospital because I'm not going to be able to afford it. You know, we know how expensive things can be in the UK. So I just stayed there and I said, I just need you to help me. We need to do this. I need to do this. I need to find a way. So we went into a meditation. Mm-hmm. And as he was speaking and I went into the meditation, oh, my God. I mean, the journey was, I don't have words for it. I left this planet, basically. And he mentioned to me, though, this portal, this gate opened up. And he mentioned to me that when I was in that state, I was able to move my body because he was doing the thing like meditation, but also hypnosis to an extent. Okay. And I could move. I could move. But when I came back, it was the side was dead. Yes. And it took me 2 days. I stayed in that state for 2 days. Remembering, no, fear, you're not going to grab me. I'm not going to let you in. I'm not going to let you win or in. I just said, no, this is not happening. Whatever happens here, I'm going to deal with it. If I die, I die, but I'm not letting fear win.
Yeah.
So I spent this time really just dwelling deep into every cell of my body, into every nerve, because I knew this was a nervous thing too. You know, somewhere my nerves must have got trapped.
Uh-huh.
So I went into every nerve. I went into every cell. I went into every organ on the left side to try and to repair it.
Yes.
Luckily, 2 days later, you know, everything was fine again. I was complete.
Incredible. I want to continue on that. I'm just going to jump ahead for one moment here, because you said then, before we started recording this call, then for the last decade you've actually been pain free. Is that?
I've been pain free. The last 10 years, when I was on this journey, in that 10 years, I was in that learning. I had one more operation after that learning. Mm-hmm. I came back to Austria. And this operation took me to my final destination. I just wanted to add that.
Yes.
This operation, I fell in coma for 3 days.
Okay.
So it was the worst final operation, I call it. It was like all the detoxing I had been doing while I was in America, while I was doing my spiritual work. I felt like this was like my body needing to just get it out. So when I went into an operation, I fell into a coma, and I had a, trying to find the English word, my liver switched off.
Mm-hmm.
So wow. I woke up after 3 days. I had a friend saying, switch on your liver, switch on your liver, switch on your liver. But I guess it was going into that unconscious part of my mind. But after 3 days, when I came back, I understood what was happening. And I did understand it actually before going into the operation. I said to many of my friends and my family, you're not going to see me for a while. I had already opened up a lot of channels to understand what was going on with me. So when I came back and I got the confirmation that my liver had been switched off, and I needed a dialyse, they call it, you know, the blood transfusion.
Dialysis.
Dialysis, thank you. I looked at the doctors and I said to them, no, it will be back tomorrow. I will switch it on. And they all looked at me like, what? And I went, it's okay. You just put a Bacardi Coke through these channels and I'll be fine. So I did come back with my humor, because humor is something that I need to move on. So they all looked at me, you can give me Bacardi Coke. Yes, okay, we'll give you one when it's back, okay? I went, great, great. So I went back to inside, went to sleep, and I remember it was 4:44. I woke up, and the nurse came in and checked the monitor and said, whoa, it's back. Your liver's working. And I went, I know. And they they just didn't understand what I was doing or what it was about, you know.
Yes.
And so I switched it back on.
Incredible.
And that was the last operation. That was the last, yeah, the last of the Mohicans, like they say.
And, amazing. And where has then voice, singing been part, or how has it been part of all this?
Every operation I had, the first thing I would do when I would open my eyes, after trying to get my, you know, vocals back again and getting that water, that first sip of water, I remember my operation and not being able to eat for days, and then saying, can I please have a vanilla ice cream? And I remember my first vanilla ice cream I took and put it into my mouth. I could sense this vanilla on my tongue, and I would never forget this day. And the second thing I did after I got my tongue moisture back, I would sing.
Yeah.
So singing was my therapy. Singing was my therapy. And when I could move, when I was able to be mobile, I would get up, I would go to the window, I would be standing with my headphones, with my CD, mainly with Whitney Houston, Diana Ross, Lionel Richie, but Whitney Houston was my guru back then, you know, step by step, day by day. That became my mantra.
Okay, yes.
Step by step, day by day. So I would listen to that every single day, and I would sing it, and then I would turn around, and there would be like 5-6 doctors behind me just standing there saying, well done, well done. So music was the only thing that kept me going, because I couldn't dance. Dancing was something I loved.
Yes.
Because of the physical, you know, part of being in pain and having an operation, being cut. But I could sing. The only thing I had was my vocals and my spirit.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, it's not easy to sing either when you're in physical pain.
Yeah.
Has singing always been part of your life?
Yeah, I remember I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go back. We're Mauritians, right?
Yeah.
We have a blood, you know, that's fire. We sing, we dance, we eat, we're merry. So this has been in my blood since I was born. I mean, I was dancing and singing as a baby,
yes.
You could say. But actually understanding that I wanted to sing, that was with 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I did start a career in dancing.
Okay.
I didn't have any vocal training, because I would just do that with my Whitney Houston albums. But am I allowed to say her name? Is that okay to say? I just mentioned her, Whitney Houston, but is that okay that I said that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure. So listening to her helped me to get the tones. So I never ever had any vocal training. I don't even know if I'm a good singer, but when I moved to Austria, I was able to get in together with a group, go on stage,
mm-hmm.
sing along, be a backing. And it was like, oh my God, this feels good. And I'm doing that what I've always dreamt to do, but I couldn't pursue.
Right.
Because my focus was still in healing myself.
Yes,
I would always
have
to throw back. And I lost my confidence. I completely lost my confidence. in trying to do anything professional with it, but it kept me just on a hobby level, on a healing level. It was purely for healing.
Yeah, like you said, then it was part of your therapy. That's interesting. And that's, I mean, singing brings with it so many proven health benefits, of course, and that's wonderful.
It brings tears. It brings joy. It brings the pain. And you know what? Whenever I had a pain or a breakup with a relationship, you know what I would do?
What?
I would switch on the saddest song I could find.
Yeah.
The saddest song, the most breaking heart song, just so that I could cry and let out my pain. So crying with a song became my therapy, you know?
That's actually a beautiful thing, and I think probably most people can relate to that. There's something to that, right? We put on sad songs for a reason. We want to feel it. We want to experience it. Yeah. Wow. Well, that's you mentioned a little bit about this then, like I mentioned in the beginning when you stood up there at the Berlin event, and you said that using your voice had been part of your healing. You didn't get into detail. We didn't really know what kind of pain you had been in, but it's powerful. So what made you come to that event, by the way?
The pain that I suffered, I feel like it's the biggest education that I will ever have. There is no school, no degree, no doctor that can give me what I've gone through. And this pain, when I'm working with people, I can connect to them from that space.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so coming to the event was important for me to help me get my voice back so I can bring it out into the world. First of all, my confidence as a speaker rather than a singer. That's why I chose yours, because that was one that gave me that opportunity to not just use the voice as a singer, as you advertised back then, but to use your voice to heal, to use your voice to bring out your story into the world. So I want to help other people with my story.
Yes.
With my slogan, love and heal yourself. Choose to love and heal yourself and others.
Yes.
That's my slogan. And I had written a lot of the stuff, you know, the pain is just a tip of the iceberg, what I've mentioned to you, but I wrote a book about it, obviously, and I'm in that process of wanting to deliver my book with my voice.
Yes. Brilliant.
Which today is obviously the best way to do it, online now, forced to work online. This is the perfect time for that.
Yeah.
So your workshop, your event, I only did that. I have to just add something here. I came to the event because while working as a transformational trainer, that was my credential, that was my proof, what I do works. I wanted to gain that first because for me, it's practice what you preach, preach what you practice.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, I was practicing, I was working with clients, and as I got the confidence what I do works, that was the reason why I took it to the level of, okay, now I want to have a trainer to help me bring my voice out. I wouldn't have done it before that. And so coming to your event was the part where I knew now I had something to say, and I had worked on myself, healed myself, really healed myself, so I could come from a healthy place. And I just needed now that encouragement to take away that nervousness, because I'm very shy, introvert. So I needed this help to take away that nervousness and feel okay to speak. You know, like, that's why I'm so thankful to be here today, that you offered, you know, you invited me for this interview, because it feels like, okay, somebody's interested. Somebody wants to hear my story.
Yes.
As opposed to back then, no one believed me, no one understood me.
Right.
It was like, yeah, whatever. But you gave me that feeling, there is someone out there who is interested and who wants to hear your story and go for it, you know? Yeah. And actually, at your event, I have to add, I have been given an offer to do an event, and I was scared. How am I going to do this event? So went online, looked for something, found you. Okay, good. I need help training because I want to do this because that's the direction I want to go in, but I don't know how. So when I came to your event, it was actually after the first day I decided, you know what? I'm going to ring the company and I'm going to say yes.
And you did?
And that was, yeah, I did.
It's fantastic.
It's scheduled for July. So if everything goes well with our situation today, we haven't cancelled it yet. I had two other events which had to be cancelled, obviously.
Yes.
My book is going to be, is actually getting translated in German. I want to revise the English, but the German is being written now. So I wanted to do an event for that as well.
Okay.
But obviously it had to be rescheduled. But thank you.
Fantastic. Yes. Well, that's part of what the event was about also, to inspire us to actually implement our ideas and become aware of our fears. And I've talked about that. I don't really like the word overcoming fears. It's more about transforming the fears into, well, first of all, becoming more aware of them. So therefore, we accept them, that we're human beings. And then we can transform that into how we create greater freedom. And love is, of course, a huge part of that, which you so much talk about. There's so many things that you have covered here that are so important that we could dig deeper. And everybody who's listening or watching this, it's published both as video and audio, probably get different things from this conversation and might get a completely different take away the second time they listen to it. If we go back to the very first thing that you said, or in the beginning, when you said the need to fit in actually doesn't make you fit in. And I think that alone, we all know that we need to fit in order to survive. We all want to be loved. And the whole thing with stage fright is part of that. The whole thing of sticking to what we feel comfortable with is all part of that. The risk of doing something different is too grand, and the risk of failing, making a fool out of ourselves, all these things are tied to that. And it's so interesting that when we have a desperate need to be loved, we actually don't attract it. So talk a little bit about that, the transformation from fear to love. How would you address that?
And to add just one more thing, back then I wanted to be a model and everyone would tease me. They would tease me really, really bad. So that was that part that broke me. And going inside myself, I realized what freedom meant. The freedom to not let others judge you or talk something, you know, talk you out of your own spiritual energy. Let's put it that way. I think that's the best way to say it. We are born with this innate power. And what happens is when we come here on this earth, we are programmed. And the first and major program is fear, which we see today. I've learned that 95%, that high, live in fear. So we have a very small community of people who is actually pushing for love. Mm-hmm. And so when you're growing up, you're involved with these negativities around you and this mindset and belief that doesn't belong to you. So I had to dig deep and learn transformation meant stepping back into your own power.
Okay.
It means just detaching yourself from the outside world. I have a three-step system that I use. I accept the pain and the fear. I sit with it, and then I let it go. I step into step two. That's the neutral part. I connect to my breath, because without breath, there is no life. Life is breath. Mm-hmm. So even though I was paralyzed, I knew as long as I'm breathing, I'm living. So I go and I connect to that breathing, and then I go into the transformation with pictures and visions.
Yes.
So this was my learning and also my healing, to find that everything you need to heal lives within yourself. Mm. You have the power to make anything happen. Your mindset, your vision, what you manifest,
yes,
what you believe is the truth. When you think you can't, you can't. Everything you believe, it's true.
Yes.
So I believed that I was a nobody. I believed that I was wrong because of a Mauritian being in a different country.
Which is completely understandable.
That. Yeah. So yeah. Just moving
away
from all that.
Our worldview is so shaped by...
Right. Your environment.
Yes. So we don't even know what we believe because we just see the world the way we see it. And anything that threatens that worldview is then a threat. So,
and you are right.
Yes.
What you think is right.
And we want to be right. So if there's a potential possibility that I could be wrong, that's also considered a threat. So even as a simple thing such as singing.
Yeah.
Often we want to believe what we can or cannot do in that aspect also. So if I work with someone and the voice becomes, something happens with the voice, something positive happens with the voice, often the person wants to dismiss that as luck, or they want to dismiss it, yes, but I still can't. And we get all, because we still want to defend our worldview of ourselves, even when it comes to experience amazing things. So it's so wonderful then when we can, and you mentioned that acceptance, and you know the first thing that I do is talking about it, giving permission, is that then we open up for possibilities. And if we can't get permission to be off key, if we just talk about singing now, right? But of course it applies to anything in life, we're not going to get permission to experience the beauty either. So it's so interesting. Now, we are recording this in the middle of this whole COVID-19 stuff now, and we've been talking a little bit before we started here that both you and me are quite comfortable being by ourselves because you have learned this from your experiences, that being by yourself is where you need to be in order to transform things within, like you're talking about. Although we're, like you said, you were with another people, you learned from other people, so we're sponges wanting to learn, right? And be with other people, and we're on stage, we present, we coach, we train. But the ability to be by ourselves is mighty powerful. And I talk a lot about this with artists who then are, you know, we can talk about extroverted, introverted, but that terminology becomes a little fuzzy also. But a lot of people want to be with other people because they need the validation. We want to be on stage, which actually is a drive to need to get belong. We need to get some kind of comfort from other people. And we even see this on social media, right? I need the likes. We need this. It's as understandable. We're all like that. We want to be loved. We want to be respected. We want to get some kind of feedback to what we do. But it's so powerful to be able to be by ourselves. And if we're not good at it, we should probably train to do that, right? What do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're obviously very good at it. To be able to be by yourself and really change your entire body is amazing.
I've actually... Right now, I keep away from social media. Mm-hmm. I write all my stuff, but I have a team who takes care of that for me. Oh. I'm not interested in the likes. I'm not interested in... This is the reason why I've just worked by myself, you know, on a one-to-one basis or group basis for many years. Even though I had the big chances to go out there because I've met a few people in my time.
Yes.
But that wasn't what I was looking for. For me, what I give to others, what I give to myself is, first of all, to understand who you are and what you have inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
That what defines you, what is that what defines you? You know, to know what you want, you need to know what you have and who you are. So the question is, what do you have? Who are you? And this is not something, this is not a question you're going to answer in one night. It's when you go inside of yourself and you dig deep and you understand, right now I can just enjoy the nature. I can just enjoy doing nothing. I can enjoy this freedom I have inside of me, right, even if I'm in quarantine. I've got this freedom that lives in me. And so bringing a person to that position, and I'm really happy to be able to do that right now for them, my clients who are in the medical world, who are police men and women, who are out there doing our deliveries, you know, doing the work, National Health Service. I'm so grateful that I can help them with a meditation to transform the fear they are in right now of what's going to happen, what could happen, you know, the future. We have the fear of the past, then we go into the fear of the future now. So my job is to help that person to come back into the now, to understand the only thing we have is now.
But it is possible that the person who sits there by themselves and asks them, who am I really, might come up with answers such as, I'm worthless, I'm useless, right?
Right. So you're asking me what would I suggest to do? So yes. I can give you a little tip of my work. I will open up a little secret recipe, so to speak. Well, what I would say to that person is, repeat inside of yourself, repeat, I am frustrated, I am frustrated, I am frustrated. You know, accept you are frustrated, first of all. Be with it, breathe it in, you know.
Yes.
Gather all that together. Gather it, see it for what it is. Don't change it, just see it for what it is. Say, I'm frustrated or I'm scared. Yeah. And then just focus on your breath. Move away from the mind that's trying to keep you in that fair space. And that's what I do well with my voice when I'm speaking to them. They have their headphones on and I'm guiding them with this meditation, guided meditation. So basically they're concentrating on my voice.
Mm-hmm.
That helps them to understand how to move from this thought pattern. So to be able to move from a thought pattern, we need a new thought pattern.
Yes.
The Zen meditation works, but it doesn't work for everyone. Not everybody can just sit there and not think of anything.
Right.
So I found a way of, we just replace the thought. So what I do now, I help the person to observe within, basically to observe, bring their attention on the breathing.
Yes.
So once you bring your attention of your breathing, you're noticing now you're coming into the presence of your own being. So as we step into that presence of your being, you will automatically notice your attention has just gone away from fear and it's now going inside of yourself. For most people, when I speak about this, they'll say, well, I don't want to go into myself because that's where the problem is.
Right, yes.
And that's true. So I'll say, yes, it's true. So why don't we just stay with this problem for now? But understand one thing. You have a choice right now to say, yes, I'm frustrated, but I'm going to choose to let it go.
Yes.
I'm going to choose to just be connected to my breath and to make a new choice. I'm going to choose to go into my true self. And as we go on with this work, I have a technique that I found. I call it my master's. I use my master's, and this word I found recently is actually in the word spirituality. Spirituality for me means one thing, the quality of your spirit.
Okay.
And the quality of the spirit. So if you wear the word spirituality and you put a Q, you separate the word, you will get spirit and quality.
Okay.
And this, however, is what I've been doing for the last 15 years. I found the qualities, and these qualities, I've been able to put it in a form of a picture and a vision that goes with it, you know, the words that go with it, an affirmation. So yes, with the affirmation, we're saying it's like a song. You listen to your song step by step, day by day, step by step, day by day. So you're repeating the affirmation, and with time, you have to give yourself time and space. With the time, when you're doing it guided, it's quicker. When you do it on your own, it may take a little bit longer. You will step into this new dimension, and you will start to focus on this other quality that is also inside of you.
Yes.
The quality of gratitude, the quality of freedom, the quality of strength, stability, trust, courage. Yeah. It's all there. It's all inside.
Mm.
So the transformation is, everybody knows the pain and the fear inside of them. So we don't need to talk about the pain and fear. They know that.
Mm-hmm.
My intention is to help them to understand there is fear, but there is also love.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at the labels under love. So the labels are the qualities I use for that person to understand, this is what I was born with. It belongs to me. Nobody can give this energy, this true self.
Okay, yes.
Power. It belongs to me. Yes. Nobody can give it. But I help them to activate it. That's okay. All it is. You just have to switch it on.
Right.
When the switch is on, just like switching on your light, once you switch on the switch, that energy reflects the whole room, right? It's like a guitar or an instrument.
Yeah.
As soon as you string it, the note just goes from one side to the other side of the room. It just bounces.
Yeah.
And that's basically what happens. And you literally, and I can do this with you one day if you're interested, to see how this impact it has in your body, and it removes every cell of fear. And I'm doing this daily with my clients, and I'm actually offering it for free. And so a policeman will ring me, even in the time of their duty, in their break, and they'll say, "Tavika, I need your help." And so,
brilliant.
Amazing. Yeah.
Brilliant. Is your book available? Hold up your book, by the way, so we see it in front of you there. Simple Love. So is this available in the U.S. also?
It's available in the U.S. It's on Amazon.
Okay.
Simple Love.
All right. Wonderful.
I'm going to rewrite it, but this one is available, but I'm looking at rewriting it.
Okay. And we'll give everyone the link to your website. Well, we'll say it out loud now. Also, it is www.devika-solcher, and however we want to pronounce it. How do you say it?
You said it, Saha.
Yes. But it's spelled S-A-L-C-H-E-R. So Devika is D-E-V-I-K-A dash SALCHER.com. Fantastic. So have you been singing today?
I did
a little
bit. I have. And I'm having so much fun because I'm able to just really be stupid. You know, I will make these tones and I don't know where they're coming from. And I'll be like, I'm so glad nobody's here. But I'll be in my room. And every time I want to laugh, you're laughing with me. This is so weird.
Are you saying that I'm encouraging you to make sounds like that? Is there?
No, but you just encourage me to just like, go ahead, just let it out. Whatever comes out, let it out. And I'm like, if you only could hear me right now. But I'm having so much fun. It's the first course I've ever bought online, I have to say.
Oh, wow.
Or even in singing. I've done workshops in singing, you know, like a day or a few hours.
Yes.
But this is my first course, and I have to say, I really am enjoying it. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But it is a pretty beautiful thing of giving permission, right? And for those who haven't done my training is a little bit it goes beyond just that. But it's interesting how we then can actually tap into deeper awareness of ourselves, the muscle isolation skills and stuff. And then I don't talk about the, like you were saying also with your process to making it easy so that we can easily access things without resistance. Because if we ask someone a specific question of go there, it's easy to feel resistance. I don't want to go there because, like you said, with the fear, for example, right? I don't want to go inside because that's where my pain is. So therefore we deny it. And the same, so therefore that's also why I go with the physical stuff first and giving permission, letting go of the need to be right or wrong or judging yourself if you sound good. And it's quite interesting what happens then when it comes to the awareness, don't you think? Besides it being fun, but you actually feel things, you notice things on a different level. Would you agree?
Well, when I'm doing my meditation, I actually bring them physically because I can't see them. I can't touch them now.
Yes.
I guide them and they're actually physically working with me. And like you say, we're going from that place of tension and I get them to tense up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then let go. So they literally feel the difference when they let go of that resistance, when they just relax, completely relax and let go. And that has actually helped me to sing, you know, with the muscles. And it's the same concept as we are using for the voice, for the whole body. You have to understand each muscle and you need to be able to relax each muscle.
Yes.
And really have that control of your breath, relax the muscle, reprogram yourselves with that mindset. I'm okay. Whatever it may be, whether it's singing, dancing,
yes,
whatever it may be, moving away from a fear. I'm okay with this right now. I'm okay. I'm not, this is not threatening me, you know? Everything is okay.
And I think this is important for you who are watching, listening to this, then, that when Devika is talking about the spirituality and the mind and the mental thing, that also goes hand in hand with extraordinary body awareness. We've heard Devika talk about going into cells, going into the left side of the body, all these things. It has very, very, it's very tied together with very deep awareness of everything that's going on within us on every level. So it goes hand in hand. There's no separation between mind and body in that sense, in my opinion. But
and we're born with it.
Right. And then, like you said, being a trainer, it's a skill that you have developed. You would not have developed that skill if you hadn't been in these situations, life and death situations.
Right.
And now you have this extraordinary skill. I prefer using that word rather than gift. We can talk about the gift. You do have a gift of that you are sharing with people, but you've developed this extraordinary skill then that you can now help other people develop also who are in pain. So, amazing. Congratulations. Well done. I mean, it's inspiring, but it's also useful to understand how this works. Yeah. So appreciate
it. If I can just add, the skill is also, it's just like a company that has a system. Every company has a system. You know, I was brought up in the finance world, finance and sales. So I'm very head-on person. I'm a very logical person. Yes. So I had to just bring spirituality with logic together and know it's life, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just the same as a company. You have a company and you have different departments. Yes. You need to understand each department and you need to understand who is running your department. So once you understand your inner system, then you have control over everything that happens in your life. And you are free. You are free to create any vision you have. Every problem has a solution. So my mission statement is always, if I may, can I just tell you what my mission statement is?
Go for it.
There's obviously two from that, what I said before, we are born with this light. The joy of life channels through you into a world that needs your light. So basically, the mission here is to create a world where we know everything is possible. there is always a solution. There is always an answer to every problem. And I can really put my hand in fire and say to somebody, whatever you're going through, we will find a solution here, 1,000%. And I want to deliver that. I want to bring that into the world. My mission is to do that with love and wisdom, the inner wisdom that we have.
Yes.
Yeah, just wanted to add that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for being on here and sharing with us. And thank you, you who have been watching and listening to this. I thank you. And I wish you all the best, Devika. And for you out there, feel free to reach out to Devika.
Thank you, Pierre. Thank you for having me. And it's all about having fun, laughing, and I'm laughing with you all the time.
There you go. I'm a goofy guy. It helps sometimes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, thank you so much. Bye for now.
Thank you.